Hey guys. So my name is Lisa and welcome to By the Lyric. Today is our first show. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be taking different songs and kind of just going deep into the lyrics and analyzing what they mean. What inspired me to do this was Alt J's Dead Crush. I listened to it and it just seemed like a jumble of words to me. And I was like, do these actually have any meaning? Or are these artists just like throwing together words and making it into a song and making everybody fall in love with basically Mad Libs? So I did some research and there's actually a lot of meaning behind it. So we're actually going to be starting off the show, kicking it off by analyzing Dead Crush by Alt J. So just a little background about this song before we really get into it. Alt J is a threesome and they imagine what historical figure they would like to go on a date with. So Joe Newman chose Elizabeth Lee Miller, who was a 1920s fashion model. She turned into a photojournalist for Vogue during World War II, for which she is most known for. Gus Unger Hamilton chose Anne Boleyn, Queen of England and the second wife of Henry VIII. And drummer Tom Green chose poet Sylvia Plath, American poet, novelist, and short story writer. The music video also seems to emphasize the fact that these crushes are dead, which is where the word dead crush comes from. They have a dystopian abandoned bunker where these three crushes are dancing in, with coffin-shaped doorways and light shining through three spinning coins, one for each dead crush. Unfortunately, Sylvia Plath didn't actually make it into the lyrics, but she can be seen represented in the music video. So let's have our first listen. I just love that song. I don't know, for some reason, I just get so many emotions while listening to it. I kind of want to get up and dance around a little bit, maybe even follow some of the dance moves from the music video that I've watched a gazillion times. So let's start by breaking down the first, three lines. So the song starts off by going, extraordinarily pretty teeth, beauty lingers out of reach. You're my DC, oh Lee. So extraordinarily pretty teeth. This is about Lee Miller. She was a World War II photojournalist for Vogue. And it's referring to her 1945 photograph, The Burgermeister's Daughter, which depicts the suicide of a young woman. Commenting on the image, Miller drew attention to the woman's extraordinarily pretty teeth. In one of the offices is a gray-haired man with his head bowed on his crossed hands on the desk. Opposite him, sprawled back in a chair, is a faded woman, eyes open, and a trickle of blood dried on her chin. Leaning back on the sofa is a girl with extraordinarily pretty teeth. She is waxen and dusty. Her nurse's uniform is sprinkled with plaster from the battle for the city hall, which raged outside after their deaths. The next line is beauty lingers out of reach. These lines also refer to Lee's extraordinarily beauty. Joe Newman pines for his dead woman, feeling that her beauty is out of reach. You're my DCO Lee. DC's meaning, I think, could be twofold here. So one is that DC literally stands for the made-up word dead crush, but in a way that rhymes with Lee, or DC can also stand for direct current, which was suggested by a user on Genius, alluding to the fact that Joe's crush is electrifying, as in the mere sight of her is empowering and energizing to him. Right, welcome back. So that was just a little bit of Chet Faker with his Gold and Mike Snow with his song called My Trigger. So getting back to Alt J, the next few lyrics in the song are Man Ray went cray cray over you, capturing but never captured. You're my DC Oli. So in 1929, Lee Miller actually traveled to Paris with the intention of apprenticing herself to the surrealist artist and photographer Man Ray. Although at first he insisted that he did not take students, Miller soon became his model and collaborator by just announcing to him, I'm your new student, as well as his lover and muse. So a little bit of scandal over there. In fact, many of the photographs taken during this period that were credited to Ray were actually taken by Miller. During a dispute with Ray regarding the attribution of their co-produced work, Ray is said to have slashed an image of Miller's neck with the razor, clearly showing that he was cray-cray over Lee. Capturing but never captured. At the outbreak of World War II, Miller was living in Hampstead in London with Penrose when the bombing of the city began. Ignoring pleas from friends and family to return to the U.S., she embarked on a new career in photojournalism as the official war photographer for Vogue, where she documented the Blitz and other events during the World War II. She was accredited into the U.S. Army as a war correspondent for Sunday Nast Publications from December 1942. A photograph by David E. Sherman of Miller in the bathtub with the shower hose looped in the center behind her head, recollecting a noose taken at Adolf Hitler's apartment in Munich, is one of the most iconic images from their partnership. Being one of the first to arrive at Hitler's secret apartments, Miller admits, "I had his address in my pocket for years." After taking the bathtub picture, Miller bathed in his tub and then slept in his bed. This could also refer to her fleeting nature, where she could never settle down with just one type of lifestyle. Once that got boring for her, she would just move on to the next. For example, moving away from Man Ray and eventually away from photography altogether. And you're my DCO Lee. We've already gone over that. So up next in the music section, we have Gooey by Glass Animals and Gravedigger Bat by Matt Meeson. Hey guys, welcome back. So that was Destruction by Joywave. Sorry, Hi by Sir Sly and Destruction by Joywave, yes. So now we're getting into verse 2 of Alt J's Dead Crush. The verse goes, Anna Bolina, maid of honor, not your sister, fearful temper. You're my DCO Anna. So we've kind of talked about Lee Miller. Now it's time to talk about Anne Boleyn, which is, Anna Bolina is actually the Latinized version of Anne Boleyn, and that was her name by which she was known. So she was the daughter of Thomas Boleyn, who was the first Earl of Wiltshire, and his wife, Lady Elizabeth Howard. She was educated in the Netherlands and France, largely as a maid of honor to Queen Claude of France, and returned to England in early 1522 to marry her Irish cousin, James Butler, 9th Earl of Ormond. The marriage plans were broken off, and instead she secured a post at court as maid of honor to Henry VIII's wife, Catherine of Aragon. So that's kind of why she was the maid of honor. It was her profession before she became the Queen of England. Not your sister, fearful temper. In February or March of 1526, Henry VIII began his pursuit of Anne. She resisted his attempts to seduce her, refusing to become his mistress, which her sister Mary had been previously. It soon became the one absorbing object of Henry's desires to annul his marriage to Catherine of Aragon so he would be free to marry Anne. When it became clear that Pope Clement VII would not annul the marriage, the breaking of the Catholic Church's power in England began. So Anne Boleyn, Queen of England, was actually a crucial member of the monarchy at that point. She was the one who kind of began the Catholic Church's break of power. Anne was considered to be the more vivacious, assertive sister, and Mary more mild-mannered. She was widely known to be passionate and energetic, but also having a sharp tongue and terrible temper. An example of this is when Henry began paying court to Jane Seymour after already marrying Anne. He gave her a locket with a miniature portrait of himself inside, and Jane, in the presence of Anne, began opening and shutting it. Anne responded by ripping off the locket with such force that her fingers bled. A possible cause of one of her miscarriages, Anne actually had one daughter who would be Elizabeth I, Queen Elizabeth I, and after that she had three miscarriages. So an actual speculated cause for her last miscarriage was upon entering a room, Anne saw Jane Seymour sitting on Henry VIII's lap and flew into a rage. So this just goes to say that she did have a fearful temper. So up next in the music, we have The Distance by Cake and Close Off by Ria May.
Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup.
Hey guys, welcome back again. So that was The Distance by Cake and Close Off by Ria May. So going back into Dead Crush's lyrics, the following part goes. Unknown artist took your likeness. Henry Tudor left you lifeless. You're my DC, oh Anna. So, unknown artist took your likeness. One of the most recognizable portraits of Anne Boleyn, titled Anna Bolina, her Latin name, was painted by an unknown English artist. We don't know whether this artist actually had relations with Anne or not, but Flemish musicians and Anne's service named Mark Smeaton and a courtier, Henry Norris, were arrested on suspicions of being the Queen's lover. Then we have Sir Francis Weston was arrested 2 days later on the same charge, as was William Brereton, a groom of the King's Privy Chamber. Sir Thomas Wyatt, a poet and friend of the Boleyns who was allegedly infatuated with her before her marriage to King Henry VIII, was also imprisoned for the same charge, and Sir Richard Page was also accused of having a sexual relationship with the Queen. The final accused was Queen Anne's own brother, George Boleyn, arrested on charges of incest and treason. So Henry VIII arrested 7 men that he thought his wife, Anne, was having an affair with. This is kind of when everything started to go downhill for her, and we know that at the end she was famously beheaded by Henry VIII in the Tower of London. So the next part of the song goes, Henry Tudor left you lifeless. She herself was accused of adultery, incest, and high treason. By the Treason Act of Edward III, adultery on the part of a queen was a form of treason because of the implications for succession to the throne, for which the penalty was burning alive. But the accusations, and especially that of incestuous adultery, were also designed to impugn her moral character. The form of treason alleged against her was that of plotting the king's death with her 7 lovers, apparently, so that she might later marry Henry Norris. Henry Percy, 6th Earl of Northumberland, who she was actually betrothed to before coming to King Henry VIII's court and being maid of honor to Catherine of Aragon, sat on the jury that unanimously found Anne guilty. Although the evidence against all of them was unconvincing, the accused were found guilty and condemned to death. George Boleyn and the other accused men were executed, and Henry commuted Anne's sentence from burning to beheading. And rather than have the queen beheaded with a common act, he brought an expert swordsman from Saint-Omer in France to perform the execution. Another thing that I found interesting is the way that Altje actually says the word Tudor. It sounds like Judah, to me at least. So when I was first listening to the song, I thought that they were saying that Henry was Judah. Henry was her betrayer. I don't know if it was on purpose, but it could be alluding to the fact that he betrayed her and his actions were the ones that actually led her to her death, just like Judas. So coming up next, we have Mountain at My Gates by Foals and Hey Yeah You by the Elwins. All right, welcome back. So now we're into the second chorus for Altje's Dead Crush. You just heard Mountain at My Gates by Foals and Hey Yeah You the Elwins. So the second chorus goes, keepa, 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 keep me damn down, let it low, let me know where you go. Papa, 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 get me down, deep, deep, down, how low, let me know. So keepa, keepa, keep me damn down. I mean, most of these lyrics, it was hard to find anything that suggested what they meant, but this is my personal take on it. After a brief farewell to her weeping ladies and a request for prayers, Anne Boleyn kneeled down, and one of her ladies tied a blindfold over her eyes. She knelt upright in the French style of executions, and her final prayer consisted of her repeating continually, Jesus, receive my soul, O Lord, have pity on my soul. Henry kept her down by shaming her for not producing a son, by cheating on her, by accusing her of ridiculous crimes, and by ultimately killing her. Let it low, let me know where you go. This could refer to Anne's ghost still being seen today in the Tower of London, how she died before her time, an unfair death, and how she wants to know where her country has gone since she passed away. Papa, 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 get me down. Anne was the daughter of Thomas Boleyn, later Earl of Wiltshire and Earl of Ormond. She wrote in French to her father, who was still living in England while Anne was completing her education at Mechelen in the Burgundian Netherlands, which is now Belgium. So maybe she was writing in her letters, papa, because she was writing in French. Deep down, how low, let me know. Okay, so Genius actually says that the lyric is Pablo, let me know, which could be referring to Lee Miller's close friendship with Pablo Picasso. Apparently, she is rumored to have had an affair with him, who painted her 6 times. The line is actually how low and not Pablo. It might be referring to how deep and how low into the ground and into the past these characters lie. For example, Lee Miller was not a proud personality. The world only knows of her work thanks to the efforts of her son and not her own marketing. Had her son not taken such an interest in her work, we may not have known about her life today. Anne Boleyn is an example of this as well, as Henry VIII tried to erase her presence and influence by killing her and getting rid of her. All right, so up next we have Youth Knows No Pain by Like Lee and Train by Brick and Mortar. Train with you, I wanna run away with you, come on, run away. We're starting to wrap it up here, and we're at the last part of the song. This is the bridge from Alt J, and it goes, if you don't have the ace of hearts, my dear, you're a lost man. Falcon for you, Anna, from the left arm of the falconer. Anna, 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 L'Arlésienne, or L'Arlésienne for you Frenchies out there. So, if you don't have the ace of hearts, my dear, you're a lost man. This is a direct reference to a line spoken by Lee Miller in Jean Cocteau's 1930 avant-garde movie called The Blood of a Poet. It's actually, the entire movie is in French, and the French name, original name, is Le Sang d'un Poète. The film contains Miller's only film appearance, and she plays the role of a statue. The film also ties in with the topic of death alluded to in Dead Crush. In the final section, a card sharp plays a game with a woman on a table that is set up over the body of a dead boy. A theater party looks on. The card sharp extracts an ace of hearts from the dead boy's breast pocket. The boy's guardian angel appears and absorbs the dead boy. He also removes the ace of hearts from the card sharp's hand and retreats up a flight of stairs and through a door. Realizing he has lost, the card sharp commits suicide as the theater party applauds. A female player transforms into a formerly smashed statue and walks off through the snow, leaving no footprints, assuming she is dead. So, there's a line spoken in that movie by Lee Miller, which is, if you don't have the ace of hearts, my dear, you're a lost man. The next line is, falcon for you, Anna, from the left arm of the falconer. Anna Bolena was fond of falconry and chose a falcon as her heraldic badge, which was later to be adopted by Queen Elizabeth I. Gus Unger Hamilton, whose dead crush is Anne Boleyn, is also an avid fan falconry and has a tattoo of a red kite, which is another type of bird of prey, on his left arm. Anna, 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 L'Arlésienne. An Arlésienne in French literature is a character that is described yet does not appear in the flesh. Although this lyric seems to only explicitly refer to Anne, as she was educated and adored the French culture, it also alludes to Miller. Picasso painted a portrait of her in 1937 by the title Portrait of Lee Miller as L'Arlésienne. So we've gone through all the lyrics. After that bridge, we have the first chorus twice. Again, the song was based on 3 dead crushes of the trio Alt-J, Elizabeth Lee Miller, Anna Bolena or Anne Boleyn, and Sylvia Plath, who unfortunately didn't actually make it into the lyrics. So let's listen to Dead Crush one last time. Again, By the Lyric is on from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Thursdays, and you can also catch me DJing tomorrow's after class, which is at 10 p.m. We call it Friday Night Live. So hope that you can join us then as well. And here's Dead Crush for the last time.